Good evening, Columbus, and welcome to Youth Beat on Columbus Community Radio. I'm Lindsay, your host, and I hope you had a wonderful week. We're looking to continue that pattern and to start your work week outright. Over the next half hour, we'll visit the homeschool program of a local park system where we were lucky enough to not only speak to an educator, but hear from the children about what they learned as well. Then we'll hear a bit more about how our prison system can often be on the receiving end of environmental inequalities and injustice. But first, we'll get your energy up. If I were to ask you, right now, if you played a sport at some time in your life, I'm guessing most of you would say yes. From soccer to baseball to cross country, either the schoolyard or genuine passion have driven anyone to test out their athletic waters. But if I were to ask how many of you chose fencing, well, I bet many hands would go down. Elegant, thrilling, and reminiscent of childhood tales of knights and dragons, fencing is far more physically and mentally demanding than you might think. To learn more, let's head to the Columbus Fencing and Fitness Academy, where we'll meet a group of students who give us a little more detail about what it takes to be a fencer.
Oh, give me land, lots of land, under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me.
The large glass-fronted studio is open almost to the point of looking empty. If it weren't for the crisscross of wires tucked neatly out of harm's way and the constant movement of young athletes, you would have trouble guessing what the building was for. But one look at the signature masks and an array of blades, and it becomes apparent. Everyone in this room is learning how to fence. Between lessons, I managed to sit down with a group of students who taught me all about this underappreciated sport and why they love it. All right, guys, this is Lindsay here for Youth Beat Radio, and I am here at Columbus Fencing and Fitness Academy. Can you guys tell us who you are?
I'm Zach Findley.
I'm Velma Hall.
Sean Rover.
All right, so how long have you guys been fencing?
Well, I've been fencing for about maybe 7 or 8 months.
I've been fencing for about 2.5 years.
All right.
About 2 years now.
So, do you guys play any other sports outside of fencing?
I sometimes play soccer.
I used to do soccer, but then I quit.
No.
No, okay, so soccer and then nothing makes sense. So why fencing? And it's kind of an eclectic sport. Not everybody out there fences. I'm going to guess most schools don't have a fencing team on them. So, well, first of all, I guess, how'd you hear about fencing?
My dad signed me up. In 2012, he was the best referee in the world. I thought it might be a little bit interesting to see if how fencing works. It's a little bit tiring, but it's really fit for me.
Well, I was in a library, and my mom was late to picking me up, and then so I just, you know, saw them fencing, and I was like, oh, you can poke people with sticks. Why not?
You know what? That's the best explanation I could ask for.
I missed other sports trials and the cutoff deadlines, and so I found this and just decided to give it a go.
So like a stroke of luck on most cases. I like it. Serendipity is my friend. So what do you guys like so much about fencing that makes it different from soccer or any other sport that you could play?
Well, it's unique. Like, there's sword fighting. There's three different types of blade that you can use. For example, I use foil. There's a lot of... Well, there's three. There's foil, saber, and epee.
It's more of a mental game because you're always, like, one step ahead of your opponent, and then, like, you never know what's coming next, and it's, like, really interesting.
It's very unique. You can be... You can have your own skill set that no one else will have. So you can be yourself and express yourself and still be able to fence.
Okay, so can you guys tell me a little bit more about the three different styles of fencing and which is your favorite?
I use foil. I think that's my favorite because, like, there's not that much target space because epee you can touch anywhere and saber you can hit with the side of your blade on top of your mask. But foil, all you have is your chest and shoulders.
Okay, so I do foil. Basically, foil is, like, just the chest area and the back, and then epee is, like, the whole body, like he said, and saber is chest and above, and then you can either point or like, slice people.
Yeah.
But foil is definitely the best because only, like, smart people do it.
I prefer foil, but each is very unique. As they've said, you can do different target zones, different ways of hitting and scoring. Each is definitely unique, but my preference is foil.
Okay, so foil all the way around. I like it. It's very homogenous. All right, so
I guess a good question is, if somebody wanted to get involved in fencing, like if somebody was listening to this radio show and they thought that you guys were really interesting and they really wanted to try fencing, what would be the first thing you tell them to do?
Okay, I think they should, like, go on YouTube and just watch a few videos of, like, fencing and stuff and get used to it and see if they're still interested in it.
Sound advice.
Like she said, find videos and things, and then if you're interested, go online, find clubs. We have some really good coaches and things, coaches and people here that will teach you a lot if you're really interested. So if you watch videos and you're still interested, you should find a place to fence.
All right. Can you guys tell me what the hardest part of fencing for you is?
Well, it's hard to learn because, like, if you don't know what the move is and you haven't heard it at all, you don't get used to it for, like, a couple of, like, a week or so. So you need to practice and practice and practice. That's what it's for me, so.
Well, the moves were never really hard for me. Like, I don't know why. I just clicked. And then, because, like, I've never clicked with any other sport. But the hardest part was definitely at competitions when you go against somebody and, like, the ref, like, is horrible and just does not agree with you. And then you can't argue because you don't want a black card. And it's just, like, really bad.
My hardest part is mastering a skill. It's one thing to learn a skill, but to truly master it, it's so long of a process. Yeah. But once you do master it, it's...
All right, so do you guys want to just keep fencing? Is this something that you want to do? Like, do you want to go to the Olympics? Is it something that you really want to do? Or is it just, like, just something you do for fun after school?
I wouldn't really want to do it at the Olympics, but I'd really want to get involved in a really big competition. Not like the Olympics big, but like others.
Well, my goal is making it to the 2024 Olympics.
Ambition.
Like, I'm almost there. Like, I mean...
First radio interview, gold medalist, 2024 Olympics right here. I'll be selling it on eBay for $20,000 in a few years.
Because, like, I'm qualified for the Junior Olympics in February, so, like, that's a big step for me.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
My goal is probably the Olympics, too. but probably 2028.
All right, guys. Do you guys have any last things to say?
Do it.
Well, you have to be balanced and coordinated, but yeah, do it.
Well, so fencing is really complicated. If you're really into mind skills, sword fighting, and stances, just do it.
Under starry skies, don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide country that I love. Don't fence me.
Much thanks to the Columbus Fencing and Fitness Academy for allowing us that interview. Oh, and if that caught your attention, you are in luck. We'll be featuring them the next few weeks, so make sure to tune in. All right, time for another poll. How many of you recycle? I'm just going to pretend it's most of you. Recycling, in some form, has become pretty mainstream within the past decade or so. But do you remember when you first learned about recycling, or who taught you? And did you know that not everything marked recyclable can actually be recycled? Deerhaven Park and the Preservation Park System of Delaware County offer special programs throughout the year that focus on familiarizing homeschool students with different environmental topics, and recently, one of those topics was recycling. They were kind enough to let us sit in on the lesson and talk to some of the people who made it happen.
It's a magic number.
All right, guys. So this is Lindsay. Again, I'm at Deerhaven Park. It's part of Preservation Parks in Delaware County. And I am here with one of their naturalists. Her name is Casey Smith. So tell us a little bit about the program that took place today.
So today was a homeschool program, and it was all about recycling. We do try to reinforce the reduce, reuse, recycle here within the parks. We are also about restoring wetlands and trying to do better for animals and for the wildlife here in our parks and saving the land. And so recycling was one of the things that we wanted to focus on.
All right. So what goes into making a program like this, especially because it's just an RSVP, so you can have a lot of people or a few people? Yeah, what goes into making something like this?
So in making this program, we do limit the number of people that can come. We limit it to 25 for our homeschool programs. So in getting ready for this, I just planned for 25 people. I had to look up a bunch of facts. I made a PowerPoint presentation, and I learned a little bit about recycling myself and what can go in my curbside recycling.
Okay, so can you talk to us a little bit about, you know, I know you're a naturalist, but you said, you know, you do a lot of education programs here. Especially, it's a really nice little nature center, too. So can you just talk about, you know, working with kids within a park system and in a natural setting, especially in a relatively urban area where sometimes kids don't get exposure to a lot of outdoor elements that aren't, you know, walking down their curb, down their street?
Sure. So we do a lot of outreach programs where we go out to the schools. We do a lot of programs in our parks. If you get one of our program guides, then that's got all of our park programs in it. Most of them are free. This homeschool program was free. We do a lot of school field trips. Schools will come to us. We get Boy Scout groups that come to us. We get separate homeschool groups that book us for programs. And so our education department here is, there's just a few of us. There's a couple of naturalists. We have a farm too called Gallant Farm. It's a 1930s replica farm. And so they have some educators out there. And we just do programming just to teach kids about nature. We really think it's important to reach the kids because they're the ones that are going to be growing up, and as long as they know that the earth is precious, then hopefully they'll want to save it as much as we do.
All right, can you tell us about the age ranges that you offer, the programs that you offer, and what age ranges they are?
We have programs for every age. We have story time in the park for 0 to 3 years old. We have preschool programs for 4 and 5 year olds. This homeschool program is for 6 to 12 if you bring an adult with you. And then we have adult programs as well that are things like a bird walk where it can be for families. Mostly adults come to those. We have hikes. We have hound hikes where you can bring your dog for a walk because some of our parks don't allow pets on the trails. But if you go with one of our naturalists who also brings her dog, then you can go for a walk with your dog on this trail that he's not supposed to be on. So that's a lot of fun. We love doing off-trail things because hopefully people are sticking to the trails. But if you know, if you go with a geologist, then you can do an off-trail geology hike, and that's a lot of fun. So we have programs for everybody.
Okay, and last thing, can you just tell us a little bit about the Delaware County Park System?
Yeah, we have 9 parks here in Delaware County, and they're spread all over the county. We just passed a levy, thanks to everybody in Delaware County, and so we are going to be opening hopefully 3 new parks. There's going to be one opening up pretty soon off of Pollock Road, and we're going to get working on that here pretty soon. And then we've got some property by Allen Creek. We've got some property up north in Delaware County that, thanks to that levy support, we're going to be able to make into some new parks. We've also got trails. We're working on the Ohio to Erie Trail, and it goes from Cincinnati to Cleveland, and you can bike that. You can walk that if you want to, but it's pretty far. It's over 300 miles.
I'm Lindsay again at Deer Haven Park, and I'm here with
Matthew Brandebaker. Jonathan.
All right, guys. So we were at a program about recycling today, right? Now, did you guys know anything about recycling before you came?
A little bit of it.
You know a little bit about recycling. Did you learn things about recycling today?
Yes.
Yeah, what did we learn?
We learned that you could reuse it after it's been recycled.
That's right. So you can always reuse things that are made out of recycled material. What was your favorite part of the day? Did you like any of the games that you played or the crafts? What was your favorite part?
I liked the relay race.
You liked the relay race? Can you tell us what you did in the relay race?
Well, there was these bins, recycling trash and compost, and we had these items, which you had, and then one person had to pick up an item and put it in the right bin, and then you tag the other person, and then the other person does the same thing.
Gotcha. All right. So that was your favorite part? You thought that was fun. Did you have a favorite part?
Doing that craft.
Oh, you like the craft? Can you tell us what you did with the craft? Did you make a bracelet?
Yeah.
Yeah? What'd you make it out of?
I made it out of yarn.
And what were the beads on the bracelet made out of?
Paper.
Paper from? Where did the paper come from?
A newspaper.
Yeah, so you made it out of old magazines and newspaper, and that's recycling, right? Because you're taking something old that they couldn't use anymore, and you're turning it into something new that you guys can use, right? Now, why should we recycle? What was the whole point of this? Why should we recycle?
Because it could be used it can be used again if it be recycled.
That's right. We can use things
and
again.
It's good for the earth.
That's right. It's good for the earth because we're not taking as much out of the environment, right? We're not taking so much out of nature, and we're recycling it so that nature can keep the resources that it needs too. So if there's anybody out there and they're listening and they don't recycle, why would you tell them to recycle?
Because it helps the earth.
It helps the earth, though? Yeah. Oh, in the soil, that's right, especially if you compost.
If people stop recycling, then it can't be reused.
That's right, it can't be reused, and why is that bad?
Because you won't have enough to drink or something.
That's right, because it can help. Our water can get dirty, right? If there's plastic that gets into our water, it can be dirty. And it makes it really, really hard for the environment to be healthy if we keep taking things out of it. All right, everybody, this is Lindsay here with Youth Beat, and I am with...
Who are you?
Finn.
Oh, I'm here with Finn. Now, what did we just learn about Finn?
Making bracelets.
That's right, we made bracelets. What did we make bracelets out of? Did we make them out of beads?
Yeah.
Yeah, what are the beads made out of?
Paper.
Paper, that's right. You guys cut out old magazines, didn't you? And you used them to make bracelets. And what did you learn about before you made your bracelets?
About recycling.
About recycling, that's right. Now, what did you do?
We threw recycling trash in our yard.
That's right, that's right. You did recycling trash and compost. Now, did you know anything about recycling before you came here?
No.
No, you didn't know anything about recycling, so you learned a lot today? Yeah, did you have fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you have a favorite part?
No.
No, everything was pretty cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Do you have anything you want to say on the radio?
No.
No? All right. Well, should people recycle?
Yes.
Yes, why should they recycle?
Because it's good.
It's good? That's right. It's good for them. It's good for the planet, right? Well, thank you very much, Finn. All right, guys, this is Lindsay here with Youth Beat, and I am here with...
Avery.
All right, Avery. So what did you do today?
Well, we learned about recycling, and we made cool crafts with yarn and paper, like for magazines. And then we did a relay race where we had to run to the trash can recycling can or a compost bin, and they were like we had to pad a thing. We had to put it in one, and then we had to tag another person.
All right. So, what did you learn about recycling?
I learned that it's just really good for the environment.
That's right. It's really good for the environment. It helps you out too, right? Because
yeah.
It means that you can buy things that are good for the earth. So that's really important. So what would you tell anybody who's listening to this radio show who doesn't recycle? Why should they recycle?
Well, because it's good for the environment. And if you do recycle, this is our one earth. We only have one earth. There might not be a plan B. So if we make this earth good and we recycle a lot, then it'll be like that. But if there's a bunch of trash everywhere, it won't be very easy to fix that. Like, you can't really fix that.
Reduce, reuse, recycle. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Well, if you're going to the market to buy some juice, you gotta bring your own bags and you learn to reduce your waste. We gotta learn to reduce. And if your brother or your sister's got some cool clothes, you could try them on before you buy some more of those. Reuse. We gotta learn to reuse.
And if the first again, this is Youth Beat on Columbus Community Radio, and that was all recorded at Deer Haven's homeschool recycling program. Now, if you folks are looking for a cozy, lovely little park, I have to recommend Deer Haven. Their nature center is exquisite, almost like an interactive forest, and they have a handful of live animals enjoying themselves along a wonderful, cozy little tucked away library. The walking paths are fairly simple, but it still gives you the idea of sanctuary in the wilderness. But not everyone is lucky enough to have access to such amazing resources. In fact, we've highlighted a lot of those populations on the show. But one population we haven't covered is the one that doesn't often cross people's minds. Prison inmates. Forced to live in a very small area, often for years at a time, prison inmates are more susceptible than most to environmental issues. To learn more, we turn to an Ohio State student with this week's EcoBeat. Whoa!
Sister, that she
A main focus of our class discussions this semester have revolved around environmental injustice in marginalized and underserved communities, which can be defined as when local governments or companies build environmentally detrimental infrastructure in minority communities. When environmental injustice occurs, victims that have enough means to relocate have the ability to move to healthier communities. But what about those left without the choice or ability to change their situation? Or even more severe, prison inmates who are forced to be in one environment for a prolonged period of time. This radio segment will cover our country's prison population, a group steadily growing and further perpetuating environmental injustices in America. Prisons act as small communities for the inmates they house. Dangerous environmental health settings can contribute to negative physical and mental health issues, as well as social health problems. Rikers Island is a standout case. An infamous prison in New York, it was built on a landfill containing toxic waste and still emits methane. LaGuardia Airport is also nearby, providing noise pollution and more toxic smells and emissions. By being constantly surrounded by physical pollutants, health quality is worse for those who live near these contaminants. As our long-term prison population continues to age, spending on health care will also have to rise in order to adequately care for our inmates. Nationwide, prison health care spending totaled $7.7 billion in 2011, down from an all-time high of $8.2 billion in 2009. Mental health also impacts the general community health and environment of prisons. In 2010, about 65% of inmates surpassed the medical criteria for alcohol and drug disorders. Nearly one-third had mental illnesses, and about one-fourth had both mental health and substance abuse problems. Overpopulation is also a major issue in American prisons. In 2015, almost 20 states were over their maximum capacity. This is an issue that matters because when we have unhealthy communities, it affects health and safety. An executive order 12,898 now requires the prison population to be included in environmental justice analyses. By gathering statistics on environmental injustices, we can begin to pinpoint the root of issues. A different starting point for a solution may be analyzing our incarceration rates rather than trying to patch the system and allowing it to grow. Environmental injustice in prison will continue to be a problem on three major levels until we decide to reevaluate our prison system. Where all the hungriest brothers with something to prove went. Foes oppose us. We take an honest stand. We roll like Moses, claiming our promised land. And if we win our independence, is that a guarantee of freedom for our descendants? Or will the blood we shed begin an endless cycle of vengeance and death with no defendants?
All right, folks, so if you've been keeping track, you know it's time for our creature feature. This week's featured creature is the common fallow deer. Native to the eastern Mediterranean, this always spotted herbivore has been introduced to various locations since Roman times and can now be found all throughout Eurasia and even in parts of the UK, North America, South America, and Australia. Beautiful coats and the male's branching antlers make them prized menagerie critters, and much of their population is in deer gardens throughout the world. Standing roughly 31 inches tall and with large males weighing around 207 pounds, these deer are just a shade larger than the whitetails that are native here in Ohio. Capable of living around 10 years of age, some animals in captivity can reach 16, with the record age being 25. And that is just enough time for a quote. This week we look to Rob Stiltonen, who said, "The people who are crazy enough to think that they can change the world are the ones who do." For Youth Beat on Columbus Community Radio, this is Lindsay. Good night.
Youth Beat Radio is funded by the School of Environment and Natural Resources at Ohio State University, the Ohio State University, and the Ohio State University Extension's Outreach Program, as well as the Puffin Foundation West and private sponsors. Check us out on the web at youthbeat.osu.edu or follow us on our Twitter page or our Facebook page.